From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Dr. Cairns returns to the theme of doing the impossible through faith, demonstrating how God uses imperfect men to accomplish his purposes. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Covenant Reaches Children. The text is Genesis chapter 17 and verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. O Lord, thou hast made a covenant with me, thy servant, in Christ Jesus my Lord. And now, I beseech thee, let my children be included in its gracious provisions. Permit me to believe this promise as made to me as well as to Abraham. I know that my children are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, even as those of other men. Therefore I ask nothing on the ground of their birth, for well I know that that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and nothing more. Lord, make them to be born under thy covenant of grace by thy Holy Spirit. I pray for my descendants throughout all generations. Be thou their God, as thou art mine. My highest honor is that thou hast permitted me to serve thee. May my offspring serve thee in all years to come. O God of Abraham, be the God of his Isaac. O God of Hannah, accept her Samuel. If, Lord, thou hast favored me in my family, I pray thee, remember other households of thy people which remain unblessed. Be the God of all the families of Israel. Let not one of those who fear thy name be tried with a godless and wicked household. For thy Son Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Come as a child.
Oh.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? Or, how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it for you. On today's program, Dr. Cairns returns to the theme of Achieving the Impossible Through Faith, part of a series of studies in Hebrews chapter 11. Of course, this chapter is known as Faith's Hall of Fame, a New Testament catalog of the exploits of many of the Old Testament saints. The key phrase is, by faith. As Dr. Cairns has been emphasizing, what these people accomplished was not by their own strength, but by their faith in God, by laying hold of the great promises God had given them. The text for this message is found in verses 35 through 38 of the chapter. A prominent feature of this passage is the conflicts encountered by God's people as they sought to live and work for Him. Sometimes they fought individual foes. Sometimes the battle was against other nations. Whatever the opposition, victory was achieved through faith in God. Now here is Dr. Cairns to begin the second portion of this two-part series called Achieving the Impossible Through Faith.
We turn again this morning to Hebrews 11, the section at the very end of the chapter, starting at verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Amen. The Lord will add His own blessing to these familiar verses from His Word for His name's sake. As I pointed out last Lord's Day, these verses are very, very easily structured. You find the divisions are clear and plain. The way the apostle moves from one theme to another is so plainly set forth that you can, I think, very easily see the progress of his thought. From verse 32 to the first half of verse 35, or really the first line and a half of verse 35, you have one constant theme. I have called it achieving the impossible through faith. You can see very clearly how that in those verses there are great things being wrought by faith, quenching the violence of fire, escaping the edge of the sword, women receiving their dead raised to life, or women receiving their dead by means of a resurrection. Then there's a sudden change. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And here he launches on a passage that deals with suffering rather than what the world would call success or overcoming. Surely these people were overcoming, but it was of a spiritual nature. They were tortured. They were beaten. They were murdered. Many had to hide in dens and caves of the earth. Paul says the world wasn't worthy of them in their hour of suffering. And I think that those verses down to verse 38 speak of bearing the unbearable through faith in Christ. And then he tops the whole thing off at the end of the chapter, verse 39 and 40. When he speaks of the Old Testament and the New Testament saints all gathered together, and the family of God is complete through faith. Now, at the moment, we're dealing with the first section, achieving the impossible through faith. What I want to do today is very simply and very briefly. I know many of you will find that hard to believe, but that's at least what I intend, very simply and very briefly, to finish off what we commenced last week. Last week, all we did really was do the Bible reading again. And behind each of these names, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, etc., and behind each of these descriptions, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, and all those other descriptions, we looked at the biblical references so that we were simply piling up the groundwork of biblical evidence for the proposition that Paul is making here, that in the will of God, Christians can achieve what is humanly impossible by faith in God's promise through Jesus Christ their Lord. Now then, having looked at all the evidence, I want us simply today to draw very simple conclusions or make some simple observations. When we think of this list of people and this list of statements that these people wrought through faith, we first of all will have to note the emphasis on the believer's conflict. Throughout these verses, there is a clear emphasis on conflict. There's individual conflict. You have here references to individual Christians, believers, followers of our God, and they are one-on-one in conflict with the powers of hell. Then you have some, and they're in a national conflict. Find that in such cases as Gideon and Barak and Jephthah and David. They're in the midst of a national conflict. Some of them, indeed, you would have to say was international conflict. There is here conflict that's private in the heart. There is conflict that's public. There is conflict that is mental anguish, mental stress. There is conflict that is of an open military nature. You look at these passages of Scripture behind the various statements here, and you find a people in conflict. But every time, whatever the type of battle, it's always spiritual. You see, the lot of the people of God, here noted, was cast in days of great declension. That's why this passage is of such personal and pertinent importance to you and me today. We love to read of revivals. I love the history of revivals in the Church of Christ. They're uplifting, and of course, they are encouraging for us to pray on and see God do a work today. There is that to encourage us. We have some reference to that here, although even that's against a background of trouble. There is some reference. Last week I ended up pointing out that women received their dead raised to life. And I said then, and I said again today, that there's an encouragement for us there. For when you lift it up onto the spiritual plane, we all have our dead. There are fathers and mothers with dead sons and daughters, dead in sin. There are sons and daughters with fathers and mothers who are dead in sin. There are churches with people in their congregation and they're dead in sin. And the tragedy with this death is that the dead man doesn't know he's dead. He thinks he's alive. He thinks that the living are dead. He looks at the believer and he says, that's dead. He gets into the world and the sin and the filth and the ungodliness and the rebellion against God. And he says, this is life. We all have our dead. And we're encouraged to pray God for a personal reviving. For a reviving in the home. For a reviving in the church. For a reviving in the nation. Whereby our dead will be raised to life. There's an encouragement, of course, not only to Christians to pray for that. There's an encouragement for sinners who are dead, who give up hope, that our God is able to lift them from the dead. I spoke some time ago to my youngest brother, who for some years has turned his back on all that he has ever learned, has gone into the world and into sin, has made a mess of his life, has got down under the grip of Satan. As I spoke to him with tears and told him the gospel and showed him the way of life, he simply hung his head and he said, I have gone too far to be saved. I've got too bad to be saved. Thank God, and I believe we'll see that dead man raised. Thank God, he specializes in raising the dead. I think I've mentioned before, one of the highlights of my entire ministry took place in my mother's sitting room, when a young woman who was as far gone as she could be, who had longed to die, for whom life had lost its meaning, whose talents had all been wasted in drugs and sin, had been brought to the very dregs, had got into the thraldom of Satanism. A scary, scary situation. I remember her saying, I can't get out. You don't know what I'm in. Every time I get in touch with somebody who can show me a way of light and life in Christ, yet there is a call that will come from the other side of the world, from the west coast of America, and that call will be from a Satan worshipper, a high priestess of Satanism, and that phone call will be to reclaim me for the devil. I never forget that night. God really burdened my heart to read from the 12th of Matthew. As we went down those statements of the Lord Jesus Christ, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. Then we dealt with blasphemy against the Holy Ghost in the light of Scripture, what it was, what it wasn't. I never forget, as God's presence came, one of those occasions when you could feel every individual hair stand in your head and every pore seemed to have a goosebump sitting on it. You could feel the presence of God in a marvelous way. Just to see the light of heaven dawning on a hell-darkened face. To say there's forgiveness for me. Today that young woman is a glowing testimony for Jesus Christ, has won many to the Savior, is a wonderful mother, and a glowing example of the power of God's saving grace. We look for those things. God, our Savior, is able to raise the dead. If you're here today in your sin, you can be made alive. If you're dead, you can live a life in Christ. If you're on the way to hell, you can get on the way to heaven. If you're all smashed up, you can be remade. There's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, we love to think of such statements, and we love to think of the power of God in revival that moves with such power to bring sinners to Christ. But nonetheless, our usual experience is that whatever we do as Christians, it's against the backdrop of declension. That's why such statements in the Bible as we have been reading about the conflicts of God's people are so encouraging to us. You see, if you only were to read about revivals, and not that revivals are without their controversies, they're certainly not, and their conflicts, they're not. But if you were only to read about people who were striding the earth like giants, and they never seemed to have any conflict, And then you have to go out and face the real world today with all the conflict. You would say the Bible has nothing for me. But the Bible is a book of reality.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.